Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show here in Sandpoint, Idaho. I'm your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and lucky, lucky us, this morning we're joined by co-host Don Childress. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you. I'm happy to sit in for Phil. There's no way to replace Phil, but I will be sitting in for him.
Exactly. We're sorry to not have Phil this week because it's a topic that's near and dear to his heart, but we will do our very best. Let's start with a little weather, and then we'll go ahead and introduce our guests. Morning weather is, as you've noticed, a little bit cloudy. High today of 53, low tonight of 28. We're going to have a week that looks a little bit like that. Chance of sun and rain. Highs in the middle 50s, lower middle 50s, and lows in the 30s. So it's getting to be that kind of a week. It's the end of the snow season and the beginning of the rain season, isn't it, Don?
Yes, it is. I've been gone for a few, actually about 10 days, and I'm amazed that during that time, how much snow we have lost.
Yes, we have, and possibly rain coming. Where have you been?
Well, I just got back last night. I've been in Argentina, in Patagonia area. A fishing friend, Ron Forsberg, and I joined three German fishermen in Estancia Laguna Verde in southern Patagonia and fished fly fishing for trout. And I'll just say that fishing was remarkably good. We had caught fish up to 17 pounds.
Oh my goodness. Well, for those of you listening, you probably already know Don is our international fly fisherman, and here he is back again, probably planning your next trip already.
We always are planning our next trip.
That's right. Well, all I've been doing is try to rehabilitate a sore knee, so I'm the boring one here this morning. I'd say it's time to introduce our guests, and we are lucky this morning to be joined by Bob Turner and his wife, Chris Turner, from the Inland Northwest Ruck. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Julie.
Glad to have you here, and good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So happy to hear you. Don, I'd like you to begin by just explaining the reason you're here. There's an event coming up. Tell us the basic details of that, and then we're going to get into it.
On April 6th, that's a week from this Saturday, we're having a clinic on long-distance hiking. And this is actually for anyone that would like to lighten their pack as well, make it more comfortable for even short hikes. The clinic is in Hayden at the Eagles Lodge on West Wyoming, right near the airport. It's on April 6th from 9 in the morning. That's actually when we got started. So registration, you can come in through the doors and have some coffee and things before that. And it'll go till about 4 o'clock. Cost is $20 if you're an Aldo West member, and it's $35 for a non-member. Now, if you join up, you get a year's membership in Aldo West and pay the $20 to get in and $15 for a membership.
So it's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, and it's called the Inland Northwest Ruck.
Correct.
All right. Well, Don would like to start us off with a question.
Well, Bob, you're the former president of the American Long Distance Hiking Association. I've done a fair amount of backpacking, but probably the miles that I've added my whole career doesn't add up to what you do in a long distance hike. Would you tell me and some of the listeners who may not know, what is long distance hiking?
The definition of long distance hiking would vary from probably person to person. Generally speaking, a long-distance hike would be a hike that would require some sort of resupply or logistical planning, more than just, you know, putting a pack on and going out and around for 4 or 5 days, where you have to plan and make provisions to continue.
All right. Well, I guess I don't qualify, Don, because I don't think I've ever had to reprovision.
The only reprovisioning I've done is to catch a trout and eat it in one of the lakes that I've been going to.
That may qualify then.
I don't think you count either. Well, Don has mentioned that, Bob, you are the former president of the ALDHA, American Long Distance Hiking Association West. That's a mouthful. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your organizations? You're in more than one.
excuse me. The Aldo West was created as a fellowship, an organization to promote fellowship among long-distance hikers. It started off in, actually, 94 is when we were officially organized, I suppose. The goals are to inspire. Thus, we have a yearly gathering and presentations of some incredible hikes, not just the normal trails we hear of. And then we promote fellowship. We always have fun at all of our meetings, and educate. And the RUC is really about educating.
Okay. And is the RUC part of ALDA, or is it a part of a separate organization?
No, the RUC is an official event of the ALDA West. We have there's one in Washington, in Idaho, Oregon, Colorado, and California.
It allows for a smaller, like a breakout session within the states, and it's more, at the RUC is more educational. At the fall gathering, it's more celebration.
I get
Bob,
it.
Bob, does your organization have regular meetings like a lot of organizations do?
No, not publicly. The board works really hard. We have an incredible board now, and they do monthly teleconferences. They have a retreat. I've been involved with a few of those. But there's a lot of the background. There's a very strong board in these all together.
But the meetings are the fall celebration and the educational RUCs in the more pre-season, pre-hiking season, spring.
Sure. And I imagine board members are not all living in the same town. I wouldn't think it would be easy for y'all to get together regularly.
We've had board members from every Western state, maybe even back east, and from Alaska.
Nice.
So it's widespread. The headquarters, the majority of the mailing address actually is in Portland, and it's been there since we started. But
And you use the name American Long Distance. Is the East Coast involved, or is this just a Western organization?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how it came about. Jardine was
Ray Jardine.
Ray Jardine was the person who first came up with this, and he ran it for 2 years before he passed it on and said, "Take this and run with it." The Appalachian Long Distance Hiking Association is known as ALDA, and he named it the American Long Distance Hiking Association. When he realized the acronym wasn't right, he added West, and that's my presumption, because we always say West.
Great.
Sure.
Great.
Well, there is one very prominent Eastern trail, and then there are a bunch of Western long-distance trails, so makes sense.
Well, and at our gathering, we have had presentations of trails in Iceland and in Patagonia, so we look at trails beyond even our West Coast.
Further west, even. You know, you've mentioned your gathering. Let's talk about what that is before we launch into next questions.
Okay, well, the RUC is like is more of a workshop. The gathering is more of a celebration. It is held in the fall, usually October, first part of October now. And it's a celebration. There's usually a couple of presenters that do real high quality presentations on hikes they've done. Again, like Chris said, Iceland and around the world, we've had all sorts of things. And so it's more of a celebration and a party. It is also the event where ALDA West is the organization that recognizes the Triple Crown. And the Triple Crown are the people who have accomplished hiked the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Continental Divide. All three. And they have completed all three. And it is called the Triple Crown of hiking.
It's an amazing accomplishment.
Right. Yes. Well, and, you know, Phil and Deb, they completed
They've
that
done
a while
it.
Ago.
Yes.
I completed mine last summer. And so, you know, I'm now one of those. It's a small minority. There's actually more people have been into outer space than have actually accomplished the Triple Crown. The average on Mount Everest, you have about 300 people a year ascending since 2004. That's been the average. And we have just over 300.
Total completions. Yeah. Wow. Don, we will have to remember that the next time we look at Phil and Deb and see those guys. They are one of a very elite group.
It's obviously a remarkable feat.
It is. It really is. It's amazing.
And I assume that these are not, the trails are done in parts. Some of these are really long trails.
Right. There's no requirement for how you do it. I mean, in terms of to hike the total miles. Deb and Phil did the Continental Divide the way I would do it if I had to do it again. And they picked the prime season for each of the sections that they were doing. So they were at the peak of the bloom. They were at the best of the fall color. They picked what it was that they wanted to see. So there, I thru hiked the PCT with my daughter back in 97. And, you know, we went from end to end in one season. And so, you know, you can do it however you want.
Well, and we have a friend, Flyin' Brian, who did all three in one calendar year.
Oh, my word.
So there are many variations.
Yes, you can do it your own way. Well, that'll bring us around to you telling us a bit about your backgrounds. Bob, you started, but would like to hear from both you and Chris about the trails you've completed and how you got into long-distance hiking, if you want to share that briefly.
Well, I've said it's a disease. We both taught and in Coeur d'Alene, and so we had summers off, and we would take that time to do a lot of activities with the kids. And it started off when they were about 6 and 9, and we would go backpacking, and each hike got a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And
we had time and not a lot of money, and we wanted adventures for those kids, so... Yeah. That's how the backpacking started.
And I think it really went wild when we did the Wonderland Trail with the two kids. That's 93 miles, and it took us about 10 days to do it. Yeah.
And that's the trail around Mount Rainier.
Mount Rainier, yes.
Yes, not far from here.
And when we got done, you know, nobody wanted to talk about hiking again. Ever. When we got to the parking lot, we were done. And then, you know, come spring the next year, we started talking about what do we want to do this summer? And our daughter, who was 8 at the time, she goes, I don't mind going backpacking, but it needs to be at least 100 miles. Otherwise, it's not worth doing.
Oh, my word.
And so we did a 120-mile hike that summer. And the next summer, it was 200-something. And then we ended up doing all of Oregon, 500 miles. And so each year, it went further and further.
Yeah. All right. And Bob, you've told us that you've recently completed your Triple Crown. Chris, what's your hiking, long distance hiking pedigree?
Actually, that's exactly how you put your papers up on the wall and people see your certification. I've finished the Pacific Crest Trail. It took me 20 years in sections that were as small as a mile. Section hike up to 1,200 miles, went from Mexico to Tahoe one summer. So I've done the entire Pacific Crest Trail, some parts of it more than once. And then that was finished in 13. And in 11, our retirement cruise was a hike on the Appalachian Trail. And we got from Georgia to Maine. Got to experience Hurricanes Irene and Lee.
Oh, boy.
And got hurt. Ooh. So this summer, we're going to finish that last 250 miles in Maine.
So you'll have two of your three finished.
Yes. I'm hoping for a double tiara. I'm not looking for a triple crown like Phil and Deb and Bob.
Well, what is a double tiara? I mean, or am I delving into too
that,
many
that's
details?
That's just a pretend name for me, because I'm not going to have a triple crown.
I see.
Chris, you're young yet. You may do the triple crown.
That's right. What he keeps saying, and he says...
I see that in your future, actually.
Well, I've got about, 250, 300 miles of the Continental Divide done already.
Wow.
So I could, but I'm...
thinking. Well, it seems to me that considering a long-distance hike could be rather daunting, which brings us back around to the ruck, because I believe that's designed to get people excited about and to consider hiking further. Let's talk about some of the details of the upcoming event.
Let's define ruck. What is ruck?
Ruck is actually a German word. used to commonly be used for a pack, a backpack.
A rucksack
comes from that, a hiking. And we have taken Ruck to be a hiking, more or less a hiking clinic, where we train people or expose them to information to help them make their hike easier, more ecological, more enjoyable, when treating nature correctly and then going light. I have a friend who uses the expression, as the pack weight goes down, the fun rate goes up.
And we really actually encourage people to bring their gear, their own backpack, with how they would normally have packed it, bring it, and we will have one of our long distance, and probably a very good chance it would be a triple crowner. We'll go through your pack and talk to you about, is this something you could leave home? And help you lighten your pack, whatever your age is, whatever your distance plan is.
Well, even those of us who have not done long distance and resupply trips know that the heavier the pack, the longer the days seem. So I can really see how lightening the load would make it a greater adventure and much more fun.
On these, on your really long distance hikes, I'm a little confused on how you do the resupplying. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Okay.
Well, let's get to that in a bit. Let's keep going with what's happening on the Ruck, what will be happening that day. And, Don, we'll come back to that question.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a day-long event, so
day-long. And we've got a couple of people I'm really excited about. One is the local Jeff Thompson from the, the Intermountain, the Avalanche Safety. And this year is a huge year in all the mountains out west. So he is going to be talking about avalanche safety and crossing snow and those events that might be very hazardous this year. The other one is we have Elise Chardonnay Walker, and she is the first African-American woman to complete the Triple Crown. And she started off with no experience and went very lightweight. In fact, she says the only one known to have hiked in a tutu. But anyway, just a wonderful lady. And she'll be there sharing her expertise with lightweight backpacking and hiking style.
And we have at least two women who are Triple Crown recipients and very inspirational, easily to talk to and to learn from. It's a great experience for women of all different ages.
And again, we do encourage attendees to bring their pack. You know, pack just like you're getting ready to go. You don't need to pack your food necessarily, but pack, you know, what you normally would carry and bring it in. We have people with a lot of experience. We have five Triple Crowners going to be there, and each one of them have hiked a minimum of 8,000 miles. I'm close to 11,000, I think. And, you know, I know Phil and Deb are way beyond that, me. So, and they'll share their expertise. Now, we're not all ultralight, but there's a lot of things that we don't carry that are pretty common.
One of the scheduled events is how not to die. I think that's a wonderful topic. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Whitney Allgood is going to be doing that presentation. He is currently the president of Alta West, and he's covering items like stream crossings and route finding and issues like that. Basically, all the safety type things you need to worry about, you know, snakes, people get very concerned.
You know, it's interesting that is one of the segments, because when I think about doing a long distance hike, that is one of the concerns that I have. How am I not going to die walking this many miles? And so it's funny, but it must be a concern for anyone who considers a trip like this.
And it's something that you have to, depends on how your age, but my mother, who is 90, still is concerned that I'm going to go out there and die. But so you need to be able to have a little bit of those information in your back pocket to tell people.
Yes, and really very few people have ever died on long-distance hikes.
Correct.
Yes. Although you might feel like dying at times.
Right. Well, and the things that people get concerned about, you know, mountain lions and bears, very few incidents of that. More people die of dehydration and exposure. So, you know, it's the little things that add up to the safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I think might prevent a person from considering a long distance hike would be the thought of injury and having to leave the trail. And is that addressed in the ruck or peripherally in any way?
Just in safety, how to keep in touch. You know, it's so much easier with cell phones now.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some of it's being abused. You have people that are lost in the fog and they want to get it, you know, bailed out. That would probably be addressed in there, too.
Sure.
That's one use of technology. Are there other, what are other technological things that that you do use on your hikes?
Most of us have our maps on our phones rather than a lot of paper. I've done a bit of both. Last summer, we started off using the map on our phone, and I was hiking with a friend, and we decided, no, we didn't need that. Let's do it with paper and compass. And we did most of the route finding with paper and compass, which was kind of fun.
And are there sort of factions or folks that are for technology and others that are not for it? How does that shake out in the group?
Yes, there is a little bit, but again, it's like last summer. You know, we use what's available when it is. When we felt like we needed it. We were feeling pretty confident in ourselves, so we went with paper and pencil. We have our dear friend Beads, who is a triple crowner and will be presenting, and she did the entire Continental Divide with just paper and compass.
But we have an app on our phone for the Pacific Crest Trail, and we didn't. My favorite way to use it is there are two trails and you're not sure which one you're supposed to go on. You turn the app on out in the mountains, walk down one trail, come back, walk down the second trail, and it would show you when you were on trail and off trail. Off you would go.
That was one of my questions in my mind is, do people get lost? Are these trails well marked, or are you bushwhacking a bit?
We never carried a map at all on the Appalachian Trail. We got a road map so we could see what towns were off the trail. On the Pacific Crest Trail, in 97, I never had a problem route finding. We used the old book, and we read, you know, pages, and it gave you down to tenths of miles, and, you know, it was very easy.
And we did not get lost in 11 either. No. It was easy on the Pacific Crest.
The Continental Divide is a little bit, it's newer. And it's a little bit, there's a lot more route finding just because of the remoteness of the trail. Mm-hmm. You know, having good cross-country skills really helps. Map and GPS are common.
Mm-hmm. And it's exciting that all three trails have complete different flavor.
That does sound exciting. Would you say the Continental Divide Trail is usually the last one folks conquer? Not necessarily.
Probably statistically, yes. It's always interesting to find that that's somebody's first trail. I finished, I hiked a piece of the Continental Divide with a young guy from Switzerland, and it was his first backpacking. He'd done some hiking in the Alps, but never a long trip, and he came out and did the whole trail.
It's interesting. How people get to long distance hiking, isn't it? And they come from all over. Really is. I notice in the schedule for the day that there are breakouts. So there are a lot of mini sessions that day.
Right. The morning are more of the technical stuff. In the morning, we'll do navigation, and we have basically it'll come out to about 3 40-minute workshops. Given
with a panel of experts.
Yeah, with a panel. And so we have things like navigation maps and apps, what's available for which trails, lightweight gear and hiking styles, that's Chardonnay. And then women specific, and that's just exactly what it means. In the afternoon, we break out on trails, and we have a whole list of trails. So if you're interested in the Pacific Crest Trail, the North Pacific Northwest Trail, which is just up the road from here, the Idaho Centennial Trail, Clay Jacobson will be here for that. He has hiked that and become passionate about that trail.
And whether you're interested in doing the entirety or doing it in sections or just picking a section, some people don't desire to even finish a trail in two or three sections. They want to just experience a portion.
So you can pick out a trail you want and someone will be there to talk about it.
In a very small group. Or maybe even one-on-one. Very small group.
I can see that as a real benefit. Who would you recommend should come to the rock on the Saturday? Who's it for?
I think it's for anybody that wants to make their hiking a little more enjoyable and maybe push the distance. In our case, you know, pushing the distance just became a part of what we wanted to do, and cutting weight didn't come in for quite a while. And so, you know, now trying to put it together. The other is anyone that's just getting started, because, you know, we're loving the trails to death. And so we do a leave no trace portion, the big focus being on like etiquette, trail etiquette and town etiquette and specifics.
A good way to start out, right. To start out hiking right. What are you hoping folks will take away from the ruck?
We're hoping that they'll lose some weight on their packs.
And maybe on their bodies.
Right. Well, yeah. And the other is we really hope that people will look at what they're putting in their packs. You know, there's a lot of wonderful products out there, but do you need them for, you know, a week or two or five or, you know?
Well, and the wear and tear, I don't like that I'm aging some days, but that it's made it so much easier to continue, and just and the confidence that one has that you have in your pack what you really need, and it's not killing your back or your feet.
And I'm sure you talk about gear in tennis and skiing and fly fishing is changing dramatically. And I would guess that's something that you'll cover also.
Yes.
Right. Good way to find out about gear. Well, let's take a short song break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about the ruck and a little bit more about Alda Inland Northwest ruck, of course, and then, of course, Alda Long Distance Hiking Association West. For those of you just joining us, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And this morning, we're joined by Bob Turner and his wife, Chris Turner, long-distance hikers, telling us about a really interesting day-long seminar coming up in Hayden or Coeur d'Alene?
It's actually Hayden.
Hayden. All right. And welcome back to KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. That song was a bit shorter than we expected. Not sure what happened there. But this is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and I'm joined by my guest co-host, Don Childress. Hello again, Don.
Hello. And very interesting topic.
Yes,
thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You're contributing a lot. I appreciate it. And we're joined this morning by American Long Distance Hiking Association West folks, Bob and Chris Turner, and they are here this morning to tell us everything we could want to know about long distance hiking and the upcoming Inland Northwest Ruck. So we're back again with Bob and Chris, and could one of you again give us the details of the event?
Okay, the Inland Ruck is on April 6th. We are at the Eagles Club there on Wyoming.
In Hayden, Idaho.
It's just west of 95, right near the airport. Great facility. The actual program will actually start at 9 and will be over at 4. I'd like to mention that after 4, we will have a social time there at the Eagles. We'll go until 6 and give you time to speak one-on-one to some of the people that you'll meet during the ruck.
That may be some of the most valuable time of the day. I would think you could learn as much talking one-on-one as you might in some other parts of the day.
And we will have some very small group times in the afternoon. The the 4 to 6 is more of an adult time. We've had kids come during those and teenagers come to the workshop itself, and that 4 o'clock, 4 to 6 is a little more adult time.
And an adult beverage will probably.
That would be part of the.
Well, and there will be other beverages, but
yes,
right, of course. Who will be doing some of the teaching during the day?
Okay, during the day, the ones that we have that I kind of highlight is Jeff Thompson, local here, the Avalanche Safety, the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center.
Yes, and for regular listeners, we've had Jeff here on our Tuesday morning show. He's a really sharp guy.
Right, and he'll, of course, be talking about avalanche safety, a big concern in the Western Mountains this year. Mm-hmm. The other is Elise Chardonnay Walker. She was the first African American to hike all 3 trails, and she is very outgoing and very experienced in lightweight backpacking. The other one is Jeff Kish, and he is the executive director of the Pacific Northwest Trail, and he will be doing the panel, the workout, or the breakout session in the afternoon on the Pacific Northwest Trail, just up the road here, about 30 miles.
Yes, that's the trail that runs east to west or west to east and crosses through the north of us through Bonner's Ferry, correct?
Right, exactly. Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only national scenic trail that ends at the ocean or begins at the ocean. So, you can go from Glacier clear out to the ocean or come back this way and get home.
That might be our closest connection to a long-distance trail here
yes.
at Sandpoint.
Well, the other one would be the Idaho Centennial Trail.
Ah, yes.
The Idaho Centennial Trail crosses up the street, I believe, not too far north of town.
We're going to get to where we might access the long-distance trails in a moment, but I'll allow you to finish up with speakers, of course.
And then other presenters we have are very experienced hikers. We have a few people that... Well, there's at least 5 of us that are Triple Crown recipients. I mean, we've done all 3 trails, and they'll be sharing their experience. In the nutrition, we've got our favorite Beads. She's from Spokane, and she's a veterinarian by trade, and we'll be doing one with nutrition, and a very dear friend of ours, Lauren, who will be sharing her. She has some very special needs, dietary needs, and yet she is looking at doing the Continental Divide this year and finishing her triple.
Sort of the big 3 when you think about it, safety, nutrition, self-care, et cetera. Nutrition's got to be huge when planning a trip.
Right. And then we'll have a breakout session. How do you fund this? You don't hit the trail and have no cost. If even with all the gear, you can figure on a significant amount of money on the outgo for food and or lodging or not, depending on how you hike. So we do talk about some options and opportunities with funding and expenses.
I'm thinking shoes would add up.
Yes.
Shoes are one of the most important pieces of gear.
Well, it's like tires on your vehicle. The trend now is to moving to the lightweight, trail running shoes, and they don't last near as long as a boot would. I wore out a pair of boots on the continent or on the Pacific Crest Trail back then, and now I go through 2 or 3 sets of shoes, but they are so much more comfortable and. Being lighter, it's the pound on the foot is worth 5 in the pack. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And who else will we be looking forward to hearing from?
I'm not.
Well, one of the opportunities is to bring your pack, bring what you're used to carrying, mm-hmm. and have a discussion with a long-distance lightweight pack. Expert, one of those Triple Crowners.
And for novices who haven't bought their equipment yet, this would be a good place to figure out what it is that you need for long distance hiking.
Need and don't need. I think don't need as often as imperative.
Right.
And Don, a good point, because when you think about it, the small cost of this day long class might save you many, many hundreds of dollars in gear that wasn't really right for you.
Right.
So
yeah, and I do want to point out one of the other presenters is Whitney Allgood, is his trail name, LaRufa. He is the current president of Valda West, and he has hiked a number of obscure trails, the Oregon Desert Trail last year, I think it's called the Columbia Divide or the Columbia Gorge Trail. He's pioneered that. So not everybody is these ultra long, ultra things, but he does it with a very light pack because he can move easier and enjoy it more.
And for folks who've maybe heard of or done some or parts of the other more well-known trails, this could be a great learning experience.
Correct.
That's right. Before we get too far down the road and have to finish our talk, let's do come back around to talking about where folks that live locally might access a long-distance trail, where they might start from. What's near to us?
Well, there are two right away are the Pacific Northwest Trail. It crosses Idaho just north of Bonner. It starts, depending on which way you want to go, it starts over in Glacier, which is accessible by train, and or out on the coast, out on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington. So that one's very close. The Idaho Centennial Trail passes just north of Sandpoint here, and it starts down at the border, down on the southern border of Idaho, and comes up pretty much through the middle of the state, through the Sawtooths and some gorgeous country. It goes through the largest wilderness area in the lower United States, the Frank Church Wilderness Area, which is the challenge of that trail because it's about 240 miles that's kind of hard to resupply in.
Or impossible, I would guess, nearly. Right. That could be quite a scenic hike right here in our own state.
Right, and we have our dear friend coming up to talk about that, Clay Jacobson. There we go.
And for listeners who that regularly listen to our Tuesday morning show, we've had Clay on. He also works for the Idaho Trails Association here in Idaho and does great work improving and repairing trails in our state.
Right. And he's also a talented musician who has offered to play at the social time.
Ah.
So, yeah. So we get a triple threat from him, trail knowledge and everything. So
that's great. And
if someone can't make the ruck, are there other options? Are there other ways of learning about long distance hiking?
Yes, there. You've got the Scotchman's Peaks here.
Friends of Scotchman's Peak.
Getting involved with an organization like that, you would find people. The Idaho Trails Association will get you out on the trail if you want, and you start finding that you're not going out just at the past the parking lot. You're getting down the trail where it really needs the work, and so that'll get you out and maybe get the fever up.
Does REI have sponsor?
They usually have clinics. Yes, they'll sponsor some clinics if you watch their schedule throughout the year. The Spokane Mountaineers do a full backpacking workshop, and which, by the way, has really trimmed what they espouse. They used to have the Knowles, the big pack, carry everything you needed. Now they're trimming things down to the essentials.
A good group, if you wanted a local group to learn more about longer hikes, they would be a good one.
Right. We have Donna Walker, who is working with us out of Spokane. She works with a lot of small groups of people that are into hiking and take, I can't think of all the groups, but she's getting involved with them gets you out on the trail with other people.
Yes.
And I would think if you're a novice that would be a good way to start.
Right. Yes.
And for the true novices, I can't not mention our own Monday Hikers right here in Sandpoint. They've got two groups, an alternate and a main group. And every Monday, rain or shine, those guys are out on a local partial day hike.
Right. And you guys have some really nice trails.
We do.
I've been up here a couple times and some beautiful views when you're done sweating.
And so. I just did my internet search. So the Facebook does have a Washington Hikers and Climbers group that you can join into.
Okay, very good. Well, we need to As we come closer to the end of our morning show, I think we need to have a bit of fun. So let's talk trail names. First of all, what are yours?
Well, mine is Dragonfly.
And how did you receive that name?
We were, Bob and I and a friend from England were hiking towards, on the Continental Divide, and we were hiking into Yellowstone. And the rangers said we could only go 10 miles because they thought that's all we could do. We were stuck at this lake, Summit Lake, and it was like miserable. We could have gotten all the way to Old Faithful easy. So we were at this lake, and then with nothing to do, and the ground starts moving, and the dragonflies hatched. And we ended up, each of us, having a dragonfly on the end of our finger and watching them come out of their cocoons and going from a glob to making themselves into their real shape. And mine was the only dragonfly that completely came out and flew off.
Oh,
so that's how I got my name.
That's a nice story. Mm-hmm. So your hold up was well worth it.
Yes, it was a fabulous, one of the best places we ever had to stay. Thank you to the Forest Service.
That's how things work out. And Bob, what about you?
Well, I didn't have a name until we were on the Appalachian Trail, and we'd been hiking with this couple for quite a while off and on, and we had been telling stories, and the guy was talking about how, you know, he'd actually played professional football, which we looked it up because stories got kind of wild and we weren't sure. And anyway, he told his stories and he wanted to know about me. And I was telling him about my time, my experience working in the, I was a research lab tech in the Air Force, and telling him stories of things that we did and didn't do. And I had a bottle of one of the plastic bottles, and I poured some purple juice mix into the bottle. And one of the tricks in the lab is that with a flask, you can tap it, and the surface tension, you know, the breaking of the surface tension, the stuff will just drift down. Well, I'm looking over it, and I hit it, not realizing that plastic is very elastic, and so all the energy went straight up rather than just...
His face was purple.
So it blew up my face, and I had purple all over my face, and, you know, no, really, water's precious, you know, you have to wash all that off. So the next morning they say, we've got a name for you, and your name's Beaker.
Oh,
so in Beaker
from
and
the
Bunsen
Muppets.
Of the Muppets.
Yes, very good.
And I thought,
good.
What a dumb name. And there's a bird back east that has a call, and it sounds like Beaker, Beaker, and then it laughs. And I thought I was being taunted all day, and after a day or two of that, I decided maybe I really was Beaker.
Well, it is part of the fun, isn't it? Yeah. A trail name. And if you hike long enough, everyone's bound to get one. Maybe someday for me.
Yeah.
It's been a great interview this morning. And why don't we have the details of the ruck one last time, then we're going to let you go and go to a song break.
Okay. First, let me say, you can register online at aldawest.org /ruck. Capital R-U-C-K, and Alda West, A-L-D-H-A, West.
Still, after all these years, I say, first letter of American Long Distance Hiking Association West. I say it in my head every time.
Yeah, and so you can go there to register. It is April 6th. That'll be a week from this Saturday. It's at the Eagles area at on West... Wyoming, just west of Highway 95 over by the Coeur d'Alene Airport. We will actually get underway at 9 o'clock, and we go till about 4. We'll have a social hour after 4, so you get a chance to ask people questions that didn't get answered during the day. And cost is $20 for Alda West members, $35 for non-members. That does include snacks in the morning and lunch and snacks all day long.
So, and this would be appropriate for anyone who wants to learn about backpacking, not just necessarily someone who wanted long distance.
Correct. Yes.
Correct.
It sounds like a great day. And free lunch, Don.
Free lunch and an afternoon session.
That's right. I think I'll have to go. Well, I want to thank you, Turners, Bob and Chris, for joining us this morning. We're going to go to a song break, and then Don and I will be back to talk about our community calendar and upcoming events in Sandpoint.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll go to song, and that's going to be, appropriately, My Walkin' Shoes. Was. Dave Grisham with John Hartford and Mike Seeger with My Walking Shoes. If you're just joining us, this is listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is Julie Calamine, your Tuesday morning show host, and being joined by Don Childress, my guest host this morning. We just had a great interview, Don, with the Alda West folks talking about the upcoming ruck, Bob and Chris Turner. Great, weren't they?
Long-distance hiking is a sport all on its own. It was very interesting to learn about that.
Really was. But moving on, let's talk about what's happening in upcoming morning shows this week. Don, what's going on tomorrow, Wednesday?
Well, starting at 8 o'clock, morning show host Chris Bessler and Susie Perez have guests of Bonnie Franklin and Sally Lowry from the Community Assistance League about their scholarship and grant program. Then there's a second interview with Shannon Williamson, director of Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper Organization. So that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Thursday, Jack Peterson and Jim Haley will have guests Bob Over and Sherry Meekins from the Nonprofit Leadership Program. Again, airtime 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY.
That's right. And additionally, we've got some really fun musical programs. Tonight, you'll be able to hear Jack Peterson with his program, The Norwester. That's regional local music. We love him on Tuesday evenings. And on Wednesday mornings, I hope you'll get up early as 5 a.m. I'm up, and listen to Bernie Mosier. He's got easy listening on a Wednesday morning. So we also have Jim Healy with his really great, is it country bluegrass? What is that? What is it? It's beautiful. It's a little bit of everything. And he's another one of our live music programming folks. So there's no shortage of talent here at KRFY. Let's talk a bit about, we've got a bit of time to talk about upcoming events in Sandpoint, and here's what's going on. For those of you who can be out and about in the next couple of evenings, we've got the Northern Stars Rising, Move Over American Idol, because it's talented local musicians that are going to aim high and compete to wow judges and the audience during the Ponderay Arts Council's live competitive concert event. It's on Friday, March 29th. That's at the Heartwood. Northern Stars Rising is a showcase that exists to further the ability of local performers to pursue their careers. So that sounds pretty fun, Don.
It's always an interesting time when they do that.
That's right. Additionally, we've got live theater coming to Sandpoint, and that is on the 28th and the 27th, Les Mis, school edition. The Sandpoint Waldorf Schools, grade 7 and grade 8, are presenting Les Miserables, school edition, in the Panetta Theater, 6:30 p.m. each night. Admission. Check for admission fees, check panada.org.
There's some talented youth in our area, and this would be a really good one to check this out.
I couldn't agree more. Well, Don, it's been a great morning show, and we're going to finish up with a song, and you folks will recognize it as someone who's going to be coming to the festival this very year in 2019, Jackson Brown with Here Comes Those Tears Again. Thank you for joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the morning show at 88.5 KRFY.